This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Excited to be back for another episode. It is a new year.
Yes.
And did you make any resolutions?
Nah.
Do you usually do that?
You know, I used to. You know, I hate to say when I was younger, but, you know, in my 20s, I did, you know, here and there. And I just feel like making resolutions means that you're unhappy with something. Mm-hmm. I feel like maybe setting goals is a better thing to do, and saying, like, I will achieve this goal by this date. I don't know. I just personally feel like resolutions is kind of dumb.
No, they don't really tend to stick around.
They don't.
Yeah, I need to look up, like, where that even came from anyway. I mean, like, why is that a thing?
Why do we make New Year's resolutions?
Like, why is that, like, a thing that happens? You know, everybody, I guess, has something they can try for. I like the idea of goals as opposed to...
Well, because I think everybody needs goals in their life, you know.
But I'm glad, I will say, I'm glad the holidays are over. it was kind of a rough one. But hopefully a new year can be kind of a fresh slate. We'll just hope for that. I did want to mention, of course, the passing of Carrie Fisher.
Yes.
And, you know, we were actually at Disney on the day that she died. And so kind of felt like we were in a very, you know, a place where people would be affected by that sort of news.
Did they acknowledge it? Like, well, you guys didn't really go over to Hollywood where all the Star Wars stuff is.
We didn't do that, but there was one night over at Disney Springs. I think they did like a lightsaber memorial.
Oh, cool.
Thing. So that was pretty cool.
And then her mom the next day made me sad because if you grew up with Disney, some of my favorite Halloween movies, she did the Halloween Town.
Yes.
That was, it was just really sad.
You know, I think that where from childhood movies, I remember her, but I think what sticks out for me is when she was Grace's mom on Will and Grace.
Yes, that was a good one too. I just always really loved her in Howling Town because I really loved the Howling Town movie.
That is a great movie. And you know, what can you say about Princess Leia and Carrie Fisher as an artist? And you know, other than that, I don't tend to get too wrapped up in celebrity deaths. I don't think.
I did with a couple this year because it was, I felt like 2016 was like killing off my childhood.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean.
So there was a few of them. I was like, man, you just like.
I think it's like for some, I mean, people die all the time.
Right.
But,
and that it's part of life. It's part of, you know, the cycle. And we understand that. But I think when it's tragic or someone that you've, kind of looked up to in whatever capacity or followed their works for so long, it makes it, it's almost kind of like a family member. and it hits you, like I said, like, you stab in my heart, you know?
Yeah. And I can't imagine losing your mom and your grandma back to back like that.
Well, I know. Poor Billy Lord. Yeah. I mean, let's just put her in a bubble.
Yeah.
Hug her tight.
So how about you? How was your holiday? Good?
We went to Kentucky after Christmas. Mm-hmm. So, like, while you guys are at Disney. It was good. My brother has a baby that's 4 months old. So she wakes up every 2 hours. Like clockwork. She hungry.
Like babies do.
Yeah. So I remembered what it was like to not have a ton of sleep. Also, sleeping like in not your own bed.
Yes.
You never do well.
Nope.
But it was fun. It was nice because I don't think my brothers and I have all been in the same room like that in a couple years because my brother is military. Mm-hmm. And of course, you know, my husband and I were, and even though he's not anymore, we have a job where we don't live at home. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of hard to get all those different people aligned in one place at the same time.
I bet your mom was happy about it.
Oh my God. We didn't tell her we were coming. Cause you know, if I told you, you know, I remember I told you, I didn't think I was going to go. Mm-hmm. And then at the last minute, my husband and I were like, yeah, okay, we can do that. And, you know, he's had to stay here cause he had to work, but I went with Caden and we didn't tell her. I told my brother so that somebody knew. Actually, I ended up telling him because he was being mean to me because I wasn't coming. And I said a few, like, bleepity bleeps. Like, listen here, I was trying to be surprising. But I guess somebody needs to know that way if I have any sort of trouble. So he kept a secret. He told my other brother, but that I got mad about it. But I was like, whatever. They didn't tell my mom. And Casey just told her, oh, I got somebody that's stopping by in a little bit. So if you hear a car door, don't worry about it. And in their neighborhood, there's car doors like all the time. Mm-hmm. So she heard the car doors, but didn't think anything about it. And then the front door opened and my sister-in-law was like, who's here? Who's here? Cause she knew. And my mom just started squalling.
Aww, like that's baby. So sweet.
Yeah.
Aww.
So
I'm
like,
sure.
You little shit. You little shit.
That's cool. I like that. So have you been able to stream or read anything?
I did stream. I finished all of Sleepy Hollow. So, cause it starts back tonight.
Awesome.
And this is final season. So I streamed all of it. I was really angry with the way they ended last season. I was like, what? But I think maybe they knew there wasn't going to be but one more. Mm-hmm. So that was their way of, like, doing it. What else have I streamed? Because I know I've been watching a few other things. Caden's been using my Hulu. You know, only one person can watch the Hulu at a time. So, and then I got caught up on Librarians. And then there was something else that was on my DVR that I had, like, oh, Salem. I love Salem, but I let it like pile up and then I plowed through them while I was Christmas wrapping. It's a very good season, which I didn't realize was going to be its like final season apparently.
Oh, really?
That makes me unhappy. Yeah, I got to do some research on that, but the way that they were advertising it on the coming, you know, after the hiatus from Christmas, that maybe this is it. And I was like, ah, dang.
I want to say I'd heard that too, now that I think about it.
It is a story that you could only carry on for so long, though. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's good, you know, to stop it while it's still good. And,
on a high, yeah. Doing well on a high.
Yeah, you don't want to drag it out.
No, sometimes it's just heartbreaking when they take away something that you really love.
I agree with that.
What have you been reading before we get to watching? Or watching. Yeah, what have you been watching before you get to reading? Dear Lord, I am having mom brain.
Well, I didn't. I've actually been kind of behind on everything since we traveled. And I did get to watch the Doctor Who Christmas special, which we will talk about later on in the show with our friend Nick Vester. And then on New Year's Day, we had new Sherlock, but I know you have not seen it yet.
No, because my DVR decided to be stupid and not record it.
So I was excited about some Sherlock, and then I got finally caught up with Sense8. Finally watched the Christmas episode, and I loved it. I don't know how you can't like Sense8. It is very... I just can't think of a show that... The way that they have weaved these stories together from these people who were all born at the same time, and they have this psychic link, and they can be together. It's just, I think it's unique. I feel like it is. I'm very invested in the characters. It's beautifully shot. The action sequences are amazing. It has a very strong sexual tone to it too. That's very intriguing. I fell in love with the first season, and then the Christmas episode, it just kind of carried along in that same line. I don't think you've seen it, have you?
I have not. It is one on my list. I've heard great things about it, and then until today, I had not heard anything bad about it. But
yeah.
I'll let you. You know what? I am not the angry one this time.
I'm not angry. Why would I be angry? No, I'm just kidding. No, I mean, some things are not for everybody. I mean, that happens, right?
I guess so. Russell Sellers.
That's okay. It's all right. We'll just. What else have I? I think that's about it. I think Emerald City starts tonight.
Yeah, and I'm hearing mixed things about it too. I have several friends posting the preview, and they're like, "What the hell is this shit?" And then I have other friends that are like, "How did I not know about this? Oh my god, I need this!" So I've set it to record because I love stories like that. I think you guys know that by now. You know. Any fairy tales, Wizard of Oz, you know, kind of that whole, like, Disney princess fairy tales, Grimm, any of that stuff. I really like it. So I'm going to check it out and see. I mean, yeah, who knows?
I can see it going either way, honestly.
It looks like there may be some nice eye candy in there, too. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to give it a go. I think most of you guys know me about now, but I hate to give opinions or strong opinions until I've been able to, like, actually watch it or actually read it. Like,
well, I mean, that only makes sense.
You can't really judge it. Like, you got to reserve. I mean, I can say, you know, I hope they don't do this, mm-hmm. and I hope it doesn't suck and give predictions, but I can't say, like, oh, this is going to bomb. Unless, like, I look at it and I'm like, why did we even decide to do this?
I have a history of liking things that are like a reimagining or retelling
right.
mm-hmm. of The Wizard of Oz. I liked a show called Tin Man. I don't know.
Oh, that was so good. On Sci-Fi?
Yes. I really loved that miniseries. And so, you know, if it's something like that, then I could see me getting on board. It's kind of the same thing I feel about the Riverdale show. You know, it's like...
I was actually discussing that with Kelly Poole from Sellers Points the other day. He and I were both at our local Fanatics, and I was telling him, you know, I kind of wanted to watch that, and he was like, we were talking about how it looks. Very Twin Peak-ish kind mm-hmm. of with the look, mm-hmm. and we're both kind of unsure about that because, I mean, Archie was kind of like – slapstick. Well, maybe slapstick's the wrong word, but like regular Archie, like old school,
like cartoonish,
yeah, maybe? Cartoony, kind of funny, lighthearted. Mm-hmm. And then the newer Archie is like zombies are eating your face off.
And I've heard that's good.
Oh, it is very good. Yeah. Very good. You can get it on. You can check it out. Because I haven't seen it at our comic shop, but because it's been out for a little bit. because it came out the same time as Sabrina ones that I'm reading. Mm-hmm. But you can read the first one for free if you have Comixology, or you can take their free trial and read it. And then if you really like it, you can have your comic shop order it for you, maybe. But it was, and we were like, well, they could go that way, but then everybody's doing zombies. So maybe this is their way of, like, kind of doing something different.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see it, but we have reservations.
Yeah, reservation. And Luke Perry's in it, so
I believe so. But, I mean, like, how old is Luke Perry at this point?
Hey, because, hey, Mel.
No, I'm just saying, like, look how old we are.
Look how old we are. He was, like, the
shiznit when we were younger.
So you're saying he's, like, in his early 60s now?
No, he's not in his early 60s, but, I mean, he's older than us.
Yes, he is.
Like, he was the shit when we were
teenagers.
You know, hanging posters of people on our wall.
Uh-huh. Well,
I'm just saying. Like,
some people can age well.
Last time I saw him, he didn't. So I'm hoping he, like, fixed himself up. I think he was going through his, like, I'm a drunk stage. So.
Oh, well, we all do. Yeah,
it wasn't pretty.
So what about reading?
I got some comic books to learn. I know, right? So, I do have to ask. It's new year, new reading goal for me.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I set one on Goodreads every year. I met my goal. I tweeted it. I met my goal last year.
That is amazing. Congratulations. So
thank you. I was very proud of myself. And I've decided to do the same goal again this year and see. Because at first I was like, do I raise it and see if I can top myself? Or do I see, like, do I stay the same? So I decided to stay at 50 books and see if I could do it. And then I may set a separate one for comic books, because I told you guys Goodreads includes comics in your read total, but I may do a separate one and see if I can get to 100, including my books and my chapter books, my link novels, and my comics. So that way I can increase my comic reading too.
I like it.
I may do that. But first two actual books, I'm almost three books in for the year of my 50, but two that I've actually finished. One was the sequel, which I talked about last time. It's Raven by Stacey Rourke, where the first one was about Headless Horseman. The Headless Horseman stuff continues in book two, but now we've included Edgar Allan Poe stuff, The Raven, which I am a huge Edgar Allan Poe fan. I love him so much. Yeah, that's dark and dreary. I'm sorry. So it was very fascinating. Book three includes H.G. Wells, which doesn't give anything away, but because it's in you can read the synopsis. Book three is going to include H.G. Wells, so I'm super excited about that because that's another one that I've always loved. There's a ton of theories on H.G. Wells being an actual, and this is like not in the book, this is like for real, but there's always been theories that H.G. Wells was actually a female, but it was frowned upon for women to like write and publish at the time.
Really? I did not know that.
That like why the initials were H.G. and not the full name, and that there was like just somebody that was like, yes, I'm H.G. Wells.
Huh.
It was really hard. It was really easy to be secretive then, like think about it. Mm-hmm. I mean, so I kind of, every time I read something H.G. Wells, I'm kind of like,
you know, that's just like automatic headcanon for me. Like, right. Yeah, that's a thing.
I think it's really cool. And then I finished the second book in another series I already told you guys about. The one where they have the Firebirds and they can travel, but you're inside someone's consciousness.
Yes.
So I went to book two, which is 10,000 Skies Above You. And that series, again, is by Claudia Gray. Still excellent. It took a different turn than I expected towards the end of book two, that I'm not exactly sure how I feel about it, but I'm hoping maybe for more clarification or more kind of more of either I'm going to love or hate that reason in book three.
Okay.
So I'll see. But those are the first two of my 50 that I've completed, and I'm currently on book three of my 50 actual novels, guys, not my comics, that's called The Heir. It's also part of a series. Oh, yeah. But it's from the Selection series by Kira Cass. Mm-hmm. But book four is written from a different viewpoint than the first three. And I don't want to tell you who because I don't want to give it – like that would ruin like the first book. But it's written from a different – I would just say a different viewpoint, and they're having another selection, which is how they determine who the prince – in the first three, they're deciding – who the prince is going to marry. They select one or two females from each of the provinces, and he has to dwindle them down to deciding who's going to be his queen.
Kind of like The Hunger Games meets The Bachelor.
Yeah, kind of. It really is. Because this is supposed to be like years later after the United States. Because they talk about, you know, oh, in the past when the United States was around, they had the Declaration of Independence. And in the first three books, they have classes. So based on, like, your job and how much money you make is a class. Mm-hmm. And a one would be in the royal family.
Right.
A two would be probably – I can't remember what a two was. I want to say a two was, like, a professional athlete, or they actually – certain levels of people that lived with the royal family – like captains of the guard, things like that. And then the three, and then you keep on going. And the young lady that all of this is really the viewpoint from in the first three is a five. And that's kind of frowned upon because you're getting down. I think a seven is low as they go, but like everybody's like, really, you're a five. Like, oh.
That's terrible.
But it's really interesting to see it and to see it laid out. Mm-hmm. It is. It's a really good series. So I'm enjoying this fourth one from a different – it's a different selection cycle than the first three, and it's a different viewpoint is all I'll say.
So like The Bachelor meets Hunger Games the next season.
Yeah. Kind of. So I have some kind of like different comics than what we usually talk about that I picked up. But you guys know I'm a huge Disney fan. And so yesterday I took, which this is going to be a side note story. You guys know I have like a crap ton of these. So side note story, I got Jenny into reading comics, which led to like this whole like, yay, we're on number eight, basically. And Jenny is now trying to be like, oh, crap, my pull list is... Your pull list is pretty nice now, isn't it?
And increasing.
Hey, I'm not going to complain.
Yeah, my wallet complains.
There's a young lady that I've mentioned her several times. She's my adoptive sister. I won't say her name in case she doesn't want me to say her name. But most, like, you know who I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. She's never read a comic book. I was very proud of her because she has started watching Arrow. She has always watched Supernatural. She's the one that actually started watching Supernatural with me after it had been a few seasons in. She was like, what is this? But she's recently started watching Arrow. She's infatuated with iZombie now because of me. And these are not things that she was interested in before. Mm-hmm. She saw the Suicide Squad movie, and I know a lot of people hated it, but she absolutely loved it, fell in love with it. And so with that, she... When I went to pick up my pull list this week, she was with me and Tiny Geekling picking up our list, and we were talking. I was talking with Kelly and Mike and everybody at the store. So because we were talking, she was just looking around. And next thing I know, she's sitting in the floor with her flip-flops off, and she's over there reading Rebirth Supergirl number one.
Oh, awesome.
And it's time for us to leave, and she's like, but. And I'm like, put it back. I have it at the house. And she's like, so she was really into that. And then yesterday we had to come to Dothan, and she saw the Suicide Squad versus Justice League.
Yes.
That's out in number three, yes. Which, by the way, anybody has a number three that you'd like to part with, apparently they cannot be reordered and they are impossible to find.
Yeah, I got mine in Montgomery.
Well, I need one. Anybody? Anybody? Bueller. So she picked up one and two. Mm-hmm. Has already powered through them and is like, I need three.
It's good. I like it.
And that's only her third. Like, I mean, she read Supergirl day before yesterday, mm-hmm. and then she's read those two yesterday. These are her first comics, guys. I am like you know, I've always tooted my horn because I brought Jenny over to the World of Comics after her saying, you know, I just don't know if I can do it. They're so short. Because she's like me. She likes books. She wants it all. She wants it all now. But she – and she's really big into books too. Elle is. I'll just call her Elle.
Okay.
But she's now read 3 comics, and she's like, what else do you got? What else do you got?
That's awesome.
I know. I'm really excited. She's watching, like, all these shows that I'm really into that she kind of used to make – not make fun of me, but, like – because she is, like, my adoptive little sister, so kind of, like, poke light up and be like, oh, another one?
Yeah.
But now she's, like, really into them, and she wants the iZombie Omnibus really bad.
Awesome.
So I'm really excited that she did that. But the reason I found one of the comics that I wanted to tell you guys about is because I took her to get the 1 and 2 yesterday. And sitting there in the rack at Phil and Jeannie's Fanatics in Dothan, and I didn't know this existed. So this is number 8. And so now I got to find 1 through 7 if it's possible. But they have Disney Princesses.
I saw that. Yeah, I saw that and thought of you.
Did you? Yeah, because it's got Funzie there on the corner. Funzie and Cinderella, you know, 2 of my favorites. So I read this, and it reads different. Like, you open it up like you would a calendar, like, long ways.
Really?
Which is really neat. I'll take a picture of my favorite panel, like you normally do, and post it, because it's just neat how it reads. And it's different little, quick stories of each. There's a bunch, like, Merida's in here, Tiana's in here, Mulan, Rapunzel, Ariel, like, some of the stories are a little bit longer than others. Some are super, like, only 3 panes. Mm-hmm. And it's on number 8, and I don't know how I missed this. But, guys, if you are a Disney fan and you even remotely like comics, or you have kids that you want to get into comics, or you have a friend that's a fan of Disney, I would recommend this hardcore. It's only $2.99, too.
Oh, that's like, good.
Yeah, it wasn't a pricey one. And it was from Joe Books. Like, it wasn't a publisher I recognized. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to do some more research on them. But and I do Disney did comics because Geekling gets several in his pull list. But it's so cute. I think our friend Robert, he makes a lot of our friends' cosplay costumes. Mm-hmm. I think he would enjoy this because, you know, he does Flynn Rider, mm-hmm. and I'm trying to get him to do Prince Charming because I have a Cinderella cosplay now. So, he's the one that I've told you guys about, and he listens to us. I think his wife listens. She's in Geek Girl Brunch with us. Mm-hmm. But he's hysterical. He's fantastic.
He is.
But his wife cosplays on occasion. She's starting 2 more, and she's great at it, and she's adorable.
She is adorable.
She is. I love her so much. She's so precious. But she doesn't very much, and then my husband doesn't. Like, there's maybe 2 characters that he's like, I'll do those, and that's it. So he and I have cosplayed together before, and he's a great cosplay partner, and he's an awesome, like, costume maker. He's phenomenal. Yeah, he made mine and Russell's Ghostbuster.
Oh, yeah.
Costume, mm-hmm. Proton pack, mm-hmm. whole 9 yards. He made the whole thing. Russell's is a traditional. Mine is from the most recent version of the Ghostbusters. And his wife and I actually both have those, the most recent version of the ladies' mm-hmm. uniforms. He made those for us, and he has a Kevin. He was our Kevin. So I think he would totally enjoy this. I may have to share that with him. And then another one, they had 1 and 2 sitting there. I don't know if you saw these because I also got these from Phil and Jeannie. It's a 1 of 5. So I kind of like things like that where there's a defined beginning and end. But it's Mega Princess.
No, I didn't see
it's
that.
It's from Kaboom.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it is really cute. I really, really enjoy it. I'm taking this one out of the plastic here so I can – but it's really funny. There's parts where she's, like, a grumpy, whiny – like, they put her in this big poofy dress, and she's like, ugh. Like, she hates stuff like that, and she has a talking horse brand that makes me think of My Little Pony. The princess, I don't know, the way that the hair is done, it's not buns like Leia, but I don't know why every time I look at the – the mom, the queen, I think of Princess Leia. I'm not real sure why I do, but I do. And it's really cute. I love it a lot. The art, she has those big eyes like I do, kind of anime eyes, as I call them. But I would recommend that kind of all ages. It was, even my son was like, what is that? I was like, don't touch, it's mine.
Sorry, kid.
So, yeah. But those are the three that are kind of non-traditional in the sense of the comic book world. But I like seeing the branch out. I love my superheroes, and you do too, but I like that there are other options for people like me and you that have other loves. Like, Disney is one of my favorite all-time fandoms.
Fandoms, yeah, that's true.
Yeah, and I mean, you can get, like, Doctor Who, you can get Disney, you can get, I mean, my son gets Adventure Time, Angry Bird, regular show. I mean, you can get mm-hmm. just about anything in a comic if you just look for it.
Yeah.
Another fantastic one, it's actually book one. It's a little bit thicker. It's rated T for teen, and I would say definitely so, because in the first, like, two pages, they already say a few things that my son would be like, she's a what? It's a really good book. It goes to my love of Supergirl from DC, Supergirl being super.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Kelly read it because he saw that I was getting it, and he was like, oh, it's a fantastic. He had gotten it the week before because it wasn't in my pull list. It was on the shelf here in town. And I adore this book because it starts off and she's like, she hates beginnings, the cheesy music swelling, the deep man voice saying, this is the story of Kara Danvers who lived in Midvale. Like, so that right there, as soon as I read it on the first page, I thought, okay, this is going to be good. And it's drawn a little bit different than the Rebirths are, which mm-hmm. I have actually been really fascinated with. So, and I do have a favorite page, so I'm going to pull a Jenny and take a picture of my favorite page. And she's dressed a lot like me. She does like the zip up hoodie jackets mm-hmm. with the Converse shoes and the jeans, and I was like, yeah, like, it's fantastic.
Who's the writer and artist on that one?
I'm gonna butcher this one name.
Yeah, I do that all the time.
Macario Tamaka.
Okay.
And Joelle Jones. And it says with, so I guess they had some more help at the bottom. It says with Sandu Floria and Kelly Fitzpatrick.
Okay.
And it is, it's, ugh, I just adored this book so much. I can't even begin to tell you.
I might have to borrow that one.
I would definitely let you do that. Yes. Which there's a Wonder Woman I have to get the name of from Kelly again, but he told me if you had it, I needed to borrow it.
Oh okay.
Yes.
Kind of the same. I'm kind of the same with you as far as I've got some books I want to talk about that are not superhero books.
Yay!
And I'm still getting all of my regular books and really enjoying Justice League versus Suicide Squad. I was really happy that. I was able to pick up number 3 in Montgomery because I knew that my shop was not going to be able to get it here.
Yeah, she tried for yesterday. It's not going to happen.
I actually should have got some a couple of copies, but I had to buy a $20 R2-D2 penny bank for my child because he saw it in the shop and fell in love with it. Anyway, so my books that I want to talk about are, have you read any Southern Bastards?
No, but my cousin, and I would love to get my cousin to start listening to us, he loves this book, like loves, it's one of his favorite books. He started reading this when I started Outcast, mm-hmm. and then he added Outcast to his pull list. And he kept telling me, you need to do Southern Bastards. You need to do Southern Bastards. But I just never did. Mm-hmm. It's not because it didn't seem appealing to me. I just, at that point, I already have so much.
Yeah.
So I may, because I've not heard not a negative thing about it.
I can't think of anything. I read the first two volumes, and I bought the third volume that I haven't gotten to yet. But the author is Jason Aaron, and the artist is Jason Latour. And I think they're both Alabama natives, if not.
Yes.
Yeah, they're both Southerners, and this book is steeped in Southern culture and like a football culture and good old boy type thing, redneck country, but it's also very kind of like a noir type feel to it. An old man goes back to his hometown after being away because of a sick relative, and he gets bogged down in this little town in Alabama, in Crawl County, Alabama. And there's a high school football coach who is also sort of like a criminal. He has part of the criminal element in this town. Not much of a police presence to speak of. I think there's a sheriff that pretty much turns his head and doesn't get involved in the criminal activity of the town. And so he's an angry old man with a very big stick, as the back of the book says. But so
it's kind of like Teddy Roosevelt.
It's just so engrossing. It's mature content. So it's not for kids, as you could tell by the title probably. But I can't recommend it enough. The ending of the first volume was shocking. I did not see that coming. And I turned around and ordered the second volume 2 days later. And the second volume focuses on the bad guy of the first volume. So it's kind of like his backstory. It's the coach boss is his name. He's the coach of the football team. And football is king in that county. So he's kind of like a god to the people there. But it's his backstory, a tragic, horrific backstory. I didn't know that I would have any sympathy for that character.
Do you think they do that sometimes, though? Remember how I have this huge sympathy for Penguin and you guys, all make fun of me?
Yeah.
But do you think it's kind of the same thing? Obviously, since I haven't read this book, but do you think that's what it is?
I don't know that I can equate him to Penguin, but...
Well, no, I'm just saying, in a similar sense, you said you didn't know that you would feel sympathetic, and
yes.
I feel sympathetic. I'm just saying, in comparison.
The
sympathy kind.
Right. Once you've seen the things that have happened to him, it's not a complete empathy situation, because it's just not, but it's more fucked up circumstances and, you can't help but feel for him, even though he is an asshole. I said that very eloquently. But I'm kind of glad that I'm not reading this as it comes out, because it will drive me insane, because I had to buy the third volume when I was in Montgomery. I have to read this. So when I run out of volumes, I'm going to be sad. And I'll have to start picking up single issues to stay on the story. So I'm trying to think, who's that? That's from Image Comics. And so the second thing, I actually picked up this series. I picked up the first four issues of this at a comic shop in Orlando. Because when I travel now, that's what I like to do, is find a local comic shop. And
we try.
I've seen this and heard this comic talked about several places, but it's called Animosity. And it's by Marguerite Bennett and Raphael de la Torre.
Okay.
She is actually the writer of the Bombshell series, which I haven't read, but is on my list.
Russell gave me those when he was cleaning out his lawn boxes. He gave me a bunch of them.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to have to borrow those. Because I like the writing in the story. This story is from Aftershock comics. And the premise is that animals have just, all of a sudden, with no explanation, they just woke up. They gained awareness. They're intelligent. They can talk. And the first page is interesting because it has some, like, biblical quotes. And then it breaks down, like, it gives you a number of how many animals are on this planet. I think to give you a sense of how kind of horrific this would be if this really happened. I mean, it breaks down to like 50 billion chickens, 1 billion cattle, 1 billion swine, 1 billion sheep, 850 million goats. And it does that for just a whole paragraph.
So, oh, Lord.
Yeah. So just giving you the sense of the scope, I think, of how this would actually play out. And it says, and one day, for no goddamn reason, the animals woke up. They started thinking, they started talking, they started taking revenge. We call it the wake. It's less dramatic than the funeral.
That's very interesting.
It is, and this is a mature comic as well. And the first couple pages, there's no dialogue or text. It's a series of panels that show animals in different situations.
Okay.
Be it in a zoo, be it a rat mother that is eating one of her young.
Well, I guess sometimes you just can't keep them all.
Yeah. It shows a polar bear attacking like a sea lion. And shows a hen engaged in reproduction with a rooster. It shows a couple of sloths. And then you turn the page and the next panel is like these situations progressing a little bit. Like the moment the animals woke up, it's kind of like a visual representation of what it looked like when they all gained their awareness. And then the next page is them reacting to the situation that are happening. They've just started talking, and it's incredible. I couldn't put it down after I saw just those first series of pages. There's a whale trainer doing a show. It looks like SeaWorld, I'm just going to say it. And the whale says to the trainer, Jessica, I can't ignore these feelings any longer. You complete me. So there's a lot of like dark humor and then a lot of just straight up violence and sadness. This whole series is just, it has really grabbed me. And I had the first four. I don't know how I'm going to continue this because I don't know if I can get it locally or not.
Just tell them you want them to order it for you.
I know that the first, at least the first issue, if not more, have gone on to like four or five printings. So it's a huge hit. A lot of people are reading it. And I read some reviews that were just really good. But it's different. I mean, the main story is focusing on a girl and her dog. So that will help like center of what they do going forward. Just some really messed up stuff happens. Some really funny stuff happens. Sweet moments happen. But I really want people to read this comic book. I will even lend you my comic books. And then the last one I wanted to talk about was something a little bit fun. It is called Fanboys vs. Zombies.
Okay.
And it is from the writer Sam Humphries, who's writing Green Lanterns right now, which is basically the reason why I got it. because I love his writing in Green Lanterns. And then just, I mean, the title is pretty great. The artist is Jerry Gaylord, which I don't know anything about, but the art is it's not bad. The way he draws zombies is pretty cool. But the premise of this book is that there's a group of friends who go to Comic-Con in San Diego every year. And this year, because of a convention center hot dog and a crazy energy drink, somehow they create the zombie virus. it's like it gets spilled on there, and then it just shows like the hot dog just like bubbling up and becoming like all gross, and somebody picks it up and eats it, and then that's how the zombie apocalypse starts, which is kind of hilarious. So the friends, you know, there's a love triangle in the group, and some of them are arguing amongst themselves, and but then the zombie outbreak happens, and they pick up these convention goers along the way. Some of the guests that are at the convention, movie stars or TV stars, join their little group while they're trying to fight the zombies. It's just funny, and I wouldn't say silly, but it's just a cool little idea. About what would happen if a bunch of nerds had to start fighting zombies at Comic-Con. I don't know. Something about that just is funny to me. And also, I picked it up for like $1.99.
Oh, that's cool.
This is the first volume. And it is from Boom Comics. So, I think the place where I got that had the next couple of volumes. So I think I'll just read that. Just fun. You know, a kind complete of a story. Just yeah, kind of just something a little bit different. But that's all that I have. You know, I'm still reading my pull list, and I have a ton of trades to take with me in the next couple of weeks to be reading. So I will definitely be talking more superhero comics the next time that we have an episode.
I'll have to see. I don't know. Like, my pull list has been kind of here and there.
So, I guess that just brings us to a break.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Okay, so coming up after the break, we are talking to our friend Nick Vester, who is a Doctor Who fan, and we just had the Doctor Who Christmas special a couple weeks ago. So we just wanted to kind of get back in our Doctor Who groove.
It's been a while.
Yeah, we haven't had an episode for like a year. So, you know, even if you're not a Doctor Who fan, you know, stick around if you're so inclined. We might spike your interest, especially if you like superheroes.
Mm-hmm.
And our friend Nick is great, so you will want to meet him, of course.
Yes.
All right, so we'll see you on the flip side.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Voice of Ring of Honor's Kevin Kelly here. I just want to make sure you're all subscribed to all of our great feeds here at Place to Be Nation. Now, it's really easy to do. Just head to iTunes or your preferred podcatcher app today and search for and subscribe to the Place to Be Nation Wrestling Feed, Place to Be Nation Pop Feed, Pro Wrestling Only Feed, and, of course, the Kevin Kelly Show Feed, which includes the full archives of my podcast. Subscribe, listen, and then rate us and leave feedback today. And of course, as always, enjoy all the great action of Ring of Honor Wrestling and everything presented to you on PlaceToBeNation.com.
Place Spinations, JT Rizzero here, and I want to let you know that we have a ton of great podcasts available to you on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlaySpination.com, and we offer them to you across two great feeds. On the PlaySpination Wrestling feed, you can check out Scott Criscolo and me on the Mothership, the Place to Be podcast, with our famous Vintage Vault pay-per-view reviews. PTBN also covers current-day wrestling with the smash hit Clotheslines and Headlines, our steady veteran main event, and the beloved monthly pay-per-view reaction shows with immediate feedback on all pro wrestling super shows. Relive wrestling's past with our monthly pay-per-view rewind series led by Ben Morse, the always contentious Dangerous Alliance podcast, and Survey Says, a fun look back at the good, bad, and ugly of WCW. On our very popular Placement Nation Pop podcast feed, we offer such great shows as the Glenn Butler Podcast Hour Spectacular, Rank and File, NBA Team, Lucha Undead, Geek and Sassy, and a veritable podcast heaven for comic fans with Hard Traveling Fanboys, Sellers Points, Todd Weber's Conversation, and Imaginary Stories. Subscribe to both of those feeds on iTunes and rate and leave feedback for us as well. All of these shows plus others available at PlaySimation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus tournaments and more. Be sure to support our site by using PlaySimation.com/Amazon when doing your online shopping, and download our free Place to Be Vintage Vault Refresh eBooks via the links on the right-hand side of our site. We also want to thank our friends at Boneheads Wing Bar in West Warwick, Rhode Island and Fall River, Massachusetts, TheHistoryOfWrestling.com, and Scott Keith's Blog of Doom. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr as well. PlaySimation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
The PWO PTBN feed has changed its name, now known simply as Pro Wrestling Only, so it should be easy to find and indeed to say. All of your favorite shows are still here, including Where the Big Boys Play, Letters from Kayfabe, Titans of Wrestling, Tag Teams Back Again, This Week in Wrestling, and many, many more, including our full archives of tremendous content. So make sure you subscribe to the Pro Wrestling Only feed today.
Welcome back to Geek and Sassy. Jennifer Miranda, I'm talking to our friend, Nick Vester. This is his first time on a podcast. So, welcome, Nick.
Welcome. Hi.
I've actually known Nick for a while. We kind of knew each other in high school, even though we went to different high schools.
Rival schools.
Yeah, rival schools, that's true.
Oh. Best friend band, so.
Yeah, it from you guys' band was obviously, like, way better than ours. But you're a trumpet player, I was a trumpet player, so. And then we kind of have the same group of friends now. So, and then we bonded over Doctor Who. And then when Miranda and I decided to do a Doctor Who episode, I was like, we got to get Nick.
Yeah.
It's more like after they started the podcast, I was saying, get me on there. Get me on there. Somehow. Get on there.
That works, too. Okay, Miranda and I have talked previously about kind of how we came into our Doctor Who fandom. So what's your Doctor Who backstory?
Okay, so I've actually known Doctor Who for several years, but it's funny – I grew up, my cousin watched the old school Who.
Mm-hmm. Oh, me too.
And at the time, I was like, oh, God, what? Why? This is terrible.
That's usual, I think.
Yeah. And I remember there's a little comic where a guy is like, Doctor Who? What's this? Then he just starts watching it and watching it. It's like, soon enough, down at the end of the comic, he has like a TARDIS on the table. Has like full Doctor Who regalia.
Oh, I've seen that one. Yeah,
he's like, do we?
Yeah, that was pretty much me. Although, wibbly wobbly timey wimey, my first Doctor Who sitting down and watching it was actually the End of Time David Tennant send-off movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And the first time I actually sat down and watched full episodes was actually with Matt Smith.
Ah.
That's me watching full storyline beginning to end.
That's not a bad way to start, I will say.
Mm-hmm. But then going back, and I'll just watch bits and pieces of 9 and 10, and eventually getting the full story, although this was back before streaming stuff, so it's just watching stuff when you can watch it.
So was it like when you were in high school, or?
I was living in Tuscaloosa at the time, so it was after undergrad.
Okay.
So maybe about mid-2000s, yeah.
Yeah,
because it started back with 9 in 2005, so.
Yeah.
Right.
So getting close to 2010.
Okay.
Oh, wait, to 09-ish era.
Mm-hmm.
So when we discussed our Doctor Who fandom, we made each other pick our favorite Doctor and our favorite companion and our favorite villain. So, yes. Of course, we have to ask you. Who's your Doctor?
Okay. Doctor is tough. I always oscillate between 10 and 11.
Yep.
I think right now, in which I watched a few episodes recently, I got to go with 11 right now.
Oh.
10 is mine, but my favorite episode is with 11, so I understand that. Like,
we're both
I get
10.
Mm-hmm. Like I say, they're almost equal with me, truthfully.
Right. And sometimes the first Doctor you're exposed to is the, and especially with Matt being you're catching him from the beginning. I could see how that would really make you pick him. What about your favorite companion?
Companion? You know, I'll be different than a lot of people. I'll actually say, which I'm intrigued by Billy coming up, but I'll say right now, Donna is actually one of my favorites.
Donna's my favorite?
That was hers, and she's my least favorite. I don't mean to be mean.
Yes, I'm vindicated.
I'm sorry.
I thought she was hilarious as a companion.
Now, there's like two episodes. One where they're like talking through the door where I died laughing. Yes. And then obviously, you know, her whole library scene where I cried my eyes out. But she still wasn't my favorite. She had some really good moments, though. She had some good moments.
I think with me, one of the things is when she, in the end, she had a really happy ending at the end of Tim's run. But in a way, she's one of the most tragic companions.
But
she lost all memory of her adventures.
And that's what she wanted so much, you know, when she was with him. That's why she was with him, is because she had an adventure with him and then she got left behind. And when she found him again, it was just, she was elated because that's all she wanted to do was to travel time with him. And he says, I just want a mate. And she says, you just want two mates.
I just wanted her grandpa to be his companion.
I know. Oh, he was great. Wilf was great.
Loved him.
He
was fantastic.
What about villain?
Okay, so I'm going to give two. I'm going to give one classic and then one modern.
Okay,
good idea.
Classic, got to go with Daleks.
Yep.
Yeah.
They are so ridiculous in their original design, but still they are one of the most menacing of Doctor Who's villains. And you can't see this, but I'm actually wearing a shirt, Dalek Pride, and it's got five different colors of Daleks on there.
Oh, sweet.
Nice.
And then New Who, which not quite villain towards the end, but when they were first introduced, I got to go with actually a tie. Sorry, I have a hard time picking favorites. So one definitely the Weeping Angels.
Yep.
Oh yeah.
Are of course, top of my list, and the Silence are up there as well.
Oh really?
Yep. In a way, actually, they're kind of opposites.
That's true.
If you think about it, you know, angels, you look at them and they're completely harmless. Silence, you look at them and then you can see them and they can interact with you. And usually that's when they take you out.
Yeah. That's interesting. I wonder if that says anything about you.
I'm like the Boo from Mario Brothers. Look at me,
Lord.
All right. So,
what about your favorite episode, though? Because I think Jenny and I did that. Do you have a favorite episode?
I didn't prepare for that one.
I don't think we did either. It was when our very first podcast we did together. We did our top five fandoms.
Mm-hmm.
And so she randomly was like, well, what's your favorite episode then? And I was like, crap. So I had to.
And, you know, it's one of those things where I think that if you're having a tough day and you put something on, you have a go-to episode. I mean, I do.
I do.
That's how I determined it.
In terms of best moments, I think most recently the Zygon inversion, especially the speech that Capaldi gave at the end of that two-parter.
Yes.
I got chills.
Yeah, he was amazing. Okay, so kind of what prompted the Doctor Who discussion is the Christmas special that just aired a couple weeks ago. We haven't had any episodes in a year. Well, yeah, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah, I was getting shakes. You know, I was getting I was getting my Doctor Who fix.
And the episode is called The Return of Dr. Mysterio, which I think is a great episode name.
I loved it.
And written by Stephen Moffat, which to me, you hate him or you love him, I think. And I usually come down on the love side when it comes to Moffat.
I love Moffat.
I guess, what did you guys, I mean, we'll talk details, but, yes, no?
Yes, I really enjoyed it. As you know, and kind of like you as well, Jenny, I've gotten back into the comics. With me, it's been several years since I've read comics, so this is actually really good homage to American comics, while also keeping, you know, the Doctor Who feel to it.
I agree. I was thinking the same thing when I was watching it. I was like, oh, this is fantastic for those of us that are fans of the show and also fans of, you know, maybe not reading comics. Like, we, the three of us, do just comic book characters.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of does that wink and a nod in a good way. I say definitely yes to this episode.
I agree. I read some, the reviews were mostly pretty good. I read several different ones and it was like some of them were kind of middle of the road, but, honestly, I think this episode felt like it was written for me. I mean, I was like, all of this is right up my alley with the Doctor and the superheroes. And one of the characters' names was Jennifer.
See?
So, I mean, I really loved it. I liked how it was sort of, at the end, tied together with the previous Christmas episode, with River.
Mm-hmm.
It felt kind of like a sequel to
a few tie-ins to the last one. Right. So I really enjoyed that.
I rewatched it again today, and I had a couple of notes, and one of them being, which I think is kind of important in that first, the opening scenes, is how great Peter Capaldi is with kids.
Yes.
And it's
he was awesome.
We've talked about that before with the episode with they never say it, but the little girl that she can see things.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like kind of a nod basically, maybe her having like Asperger's or something. Mm-hmm. How good he is with that little girl. Oh, that always just like, I don't know, kind of hits me in the feels.
He has this way of talking to the kids, interacting with them, not talking down to them. He just had, there's just like a little spark. And I mean, Matt had that too, but I kind of like it even more with Peter.
Yeah, it's more of like a fatherly attention he's given to the kids, but like the mischievous father.
Right. Mm-hmm. That him and the little boy, Grant, no, is that his name? Yeah, Grant.
Mm-hmm. Grant.
Their scenes were just adorable. And I loved that the kid reminded me of my kid.
Oh, yes.
So it just hit all everything right at the beginning. I was like, I love this already.
I love their interactions at the beginning where they're he's going through and giving these literal analysis mm-hmm. of comic books.
Yeah. Just thought he was super smart by pointing out that Superman and Clark Kent are the same person.
Right.
And the little kid's like, what are you talking about?
He was kind of like, you're so dumb. Like,
everybody knows that already. I loved how they showed the actual like panels from the comic book, and several times just the way that some of the shots were set up and framed, it looked like sometimes panels of a comic book. In the beginning, him in the window and several other shots. I don't know if that was intentional or maybe I just imagined that, but I thought the episode looked really cool.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of rare that we get outside of England and and like outer space stuff and get an episode in New York. Does it happen?
So it's kind of funny. So I went and saw it in theaters last week, actually.
Oh, really?
Watched it.
So that was really nice. I thought it was great getting the theater experience with it. And also, you know, when you're watching stuff on TV now, you have your phones and your laptops flipped out.
Yes.
So it's really easy to get distracted, mm-hmm. especially during commercials. So now it was great to have that nice focal point in the theater where you don't have anything. You just get to watch and enjoy it.
Oh, now I want to do that.
I've always wanted to.
They've just never had it close enough to us when they do it that I could go at least.
Yeah, I saw it that they were doing it, and I was like, yes. But so at the end of it, they had a little making of section, which that was really cool. It was hosted by the girl that played Jennifer.
Oh. Okay.
So so I found out that the New York scenes were actually filmed. There's like a mini New York set in Eastern Europe that movies that are done in Britain go and they film New York scenes there.
Huh. I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. I did not either.
That is cool. It really had a New York feel, as much as Doctor Who can, really.
Yeah.
Oh,
did anyone catch the nod to the Angels Take Manhattan?
Was that in relation to the device he was building up?
Yeah, he said the device was there because of time distortions.
Right.
Oh, okay.
And it's fault.
That's so awesome.
I didn't catch it the first time, but the second time I was like, oh.
Huh. I guess it would bring up a lot of things for him being in New York, considering what happened there.
Mm-hmm.
Just the little boy accidentally takes the gemstone that he thinks is medicine.
That cracked me up. I was thinking about the doctor. Well, that's what he says. I was thinking about Jenny's little boys because he's like, you said you were a doctor and gave me a glass of water and this tiny little thing that I thought was my medicine because I'm sick or whatever.
It's like so simple, but it's so perfect.
Well, they're literal. Like, yeah, our boys are very literal and like, you know, they analyze everything. So, okay, you said you're a doctor. You gave me water and this tiny little thing. Like,
of course, what else did you do with it?
Right.
I really like that concept that it was, it gives you your heart's desire and, in a pill or in a gemstone form.
I'll just say that it's a good thing that he was not a Batman fan.
Well, it's funny you say that because the actor that played this part actually said that, he got his inspiration from, like what Keaton did with Batman.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of really funny that you said that.
there was some Batman-esque things. I mean, his costume.
Oh yeah.
The voice changing.
The voice, yes. That face part though, I did not like. I didn't like his whatever he had covering his face.
It's supposed to be a mask thing. Yeah.
I didn't like. Kind of like Mr. Terrific or whatever on Arrow. I'm like, no. Why do you have a big old T on your face? I don't know. It looks weird. But I love the scene where he comes to rescue them out of the building.
Yes.
Backtrack a little bit. Nardole.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And yeah, when he's first comes back. And he's in that boardroom. Said, can you tell me where the little boy's room is?
Yeah.
The restroom. It's over there.
Yeah.
The little boy's room.
It's like, I don't want to rest.
That cracked me up. Why does everyone want to rest?
Oh, and...
I'm so glad they brought him back. And looks like too. He's back for a few episodes this season. Because I thought he did a great job this episode.
He's funny. I like
him. They showed him in previews for some things coming up. So.
Yeah. And earlier in that scene, there was a nod to Superman's creators, Jerry Siegel and Joe Shuster. The guy who is the head of the corporation said, you can see Miss Siegel or Shuster on your way out. I thought that was pretty cool.
That's right.
That is pretty funny. I didn't even catch that.
Superman is... kind of, I think probably the main inspiration for the superhero character of the Ghost.
Mm-hmm.
No, definitely. Especially, you know, it's, what do you say, it harnesses the power of the sun to make the wishes come true.
Right. And he describes himself as mild-mannered.
Mm-hmm. You're wet. I prefer mild-mannered.
Yeah, I did kind of skip ahead there. So, the brains. What were the villains of this? What were their names? What was the name of their...
So, they're actually the same aliens from the last Christmas special.
Right.
And I looked it up to remind myself. So, in here, they're actually called Harmony Shoal because it's shortened from... the Shoal of Winter's Harmony that they were in last.
Oh, okay.
That's right. That's right. Huh, that's interesting. So their goal is to replace humans' brains with them. They are brain aliens. Sure. And
yeah, at first when they showed what they were doing, I kind of rolled my eyes a little bit.
Okay, I'm glad I'm not the only one.
I was thinking, like, another body snatcher plot.
Right.
But you know what? I thought it worked out well.
It kind of did. There is an interesting visual, the way that the head is sliced open.
Yeah.
To get the new brain in there. I mean, it's not gory, but it's interesting to watch and off-putting.
It's a nice holding a holster, apparently, too.
Yeah.
Right. That was the thing I thought was the most hysterical about that.
I think he says something about we merely exchanged containers.
Yes.
Like, what kind of line is that? It's kind of awesome. Ruthless. So their goal is they're going to replace, they have one of these corporations in every major capital in the world. Is that what they figured out. So they have like a branch with brain aliens going to, like you said, body snatch the world's leaders. And
then place a world invasion after that.
Right. Mm-hmm. So in classic Doctor Who fashion, we get a Christmas invasion. A little bit more small scale this time than what they've done in the past with their Christmas invasion episodes.
Yeah, because
they weren't trying to invade the whole world just yet.
Right.
Yeah, they haven't set their plan apart. They're setting it up right now.
Right. Kind of a little bit. I liked how it wasn't as grand scale. It was kind of more of a contained type feeling in this episode, because sometimes it gets a little wacky, and this one felt a little bit more grounded.
Yeah, I'll say it's a really intimate episode.
Good word.
Yeah, because you really only have a couple of locations that you're at compared to some of the other ones, because you have the apartment for, that's the bulk of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And a lot of it's the interactions between Grant and Jennifer and the Doctor, with Nardole, you know, throwing in witty comments here and there.
the ghost comes. Well, the Doctor, of course, figures something up. Something is up, and one of the other main characters in the episode is a Lois Lane type named Lucy.
Yep.
I really like Lucy.
I liked her too.
I did too.
She's a Lois Lane stand-in, plucky mm-hmm. reporter. Smells something funny is happening here, and dresses up like a maid and tries to snoop around and get some clues, and runs into the Doctor, who is eating sushi. Because he's...
He brought his own snack.
He brought his own snack. Which is great.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, the bad guy figures out, like, hey, you're about to... I'm about to take your brain out of your head.
I don't think that would be...
Invaders, but I'm going to shoot you.
Yeah.
And in true Doctor fashion, he tries to outwit the bad guy, turns around, says, you know, we're not really attackers if you shoot us from behind.
Yeah, try explaining that. And then the superhero shows up.
Busting through a glass that's meant to withstand four nuclear bombs.
See, and that should have told me something right there when they said, like, they made such an emphasis on, hey, that window should have suppressed, you know, so much more. And I was like, that's probably got to tell me something later. I'll just keep going.
Yeah. I felt the same way when I was watching it again. I was like, well, that seemed like a obvious statement there. Like, of course I need to know that later. I really liked his interactions with the Doctor and Lucy as a superhero. and he just picks her, you know, they have some witty banter. He's really good at banter.
Yes, he is.
I like the way Moffat writes his banter as a superhero, because it's kind of like Doctor Who-ish in that it's a tad bit cheesy, but still smart and funny. It kind of fits into that Doctor Who superhero subgenre.
I have to give it to Justin Chatwin.
That's right.
That's a much better performance than him being Goku from the Dragon Ball movie that
you need. Oh, yeah, I didn't see that. What else has he been in?
Was or is on Shameless.
Oh, okay.
The Showtime
show. I can check. He did, this summer there was a show called American Gothic he was in. Mm-hmm. He was on Orphan Black. Looks like his Shameless run was 2011, 2015. He was on Weeds. He was in, let me see. He did some Smallville.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
He must have been young. I mean, he looks young, but he might not be young.
Yeah, he was in the pilot and then the unaired pilot, it says.
Huh. How old is he?
Let us see.
He's around our age.
Yeah, he is. He's our age.
Yep, Halloween of 82.
Hmm. Yep. But yeah, I mean, he's done several things. I mean, the list just goes on.
I really liked him in this episode.
I did.
As the ghost and as Grant. Where were we at? Okay.
We're kind of just going through the episode. So.
Yeah, so he busts in and then
picks her up and is like, well, I'm going to carry you off.
Doctor and Nardole make their way back to the apartment.
And the doctor figures out who he is automatically.
Mm-hmm. Which I thought was funny that he doesn't, like, neither one of them act like they know each other.
Yes.
They're just like, okay. You can see they clearly know who it is, but they're not saying a word.
And I liked that when they're back in the apartment and the doctor confronts him, he kind of scolds him because Grant is a nanny. That's what he does as his day job. And when there's trouble, he just takes a baby monitor with him, and that's how he keeps track of the baby. And I was like,
I thought that was great.
Like, that's, like, good, but makes me a little uncomfortable. It's like, who's watching this child when you're out flying around?
Quick he got back?
And then the doctor calls him out on it right away.
Some of the fans that I saw watch the episode saw the same things you said, Jenny, where they were like, well, he just left that baby there. Why would he do that? I can't stand this now.
And I understand, like, he's fast and he can get to the baby if she cries, but what if he was in the middle of saving the world or something? It's like, which one are you going to choose? It's like, let the baby cry it out for a little bit while I save the people from the burning building or something?
Well, yeah, it's kind of what he was doing.
Or from the kids on the Ferris wheel and all that?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I liked that they did kind of little flashbacks to show that the doctor had popped in on him while he was growing up. And
I like the one where he was in middle school. He's like, I don't like a girl. Starts floating up in the air.
That was, like, a metaphor.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Sure.
He's like,
you
I
don't.
Can't look at anyone. X-ray vision.
X-ray vision.
That would be hell.
That would be hell. Yes.
Oh my god. Everybody's like all gangly and coming into themselves, and it's just not a pretty time period for anyone.
No puberty. Rough.
Ugh.
I don't even like that. I don't like that word even. So Lucy, well, you know, the doctor's kind of giving him hell a little bit, giving Grant hell a little bit, and he's like, I'm the doctor and even I think this is insane. Like, why are you doing this? And then you discover that he is a nanny to Lucy's baby. And that's the big tie-in.
Nardole's comment when she walks in, what are you doing here? I could ask you the same thing. But you live here, so.
That would be awkward.
Oh, God.
I love his little lines.
It's the little, like, one line jab things, and then he goes back to doing what he's doing. Like, yeah. He never even was there.
That exchange when I like the facial expressions between the doctor and Grant.
Oh yeah.
Grant's
like
to,
hiding behind.
He doesn't
yeah.
know. Don't. And he's like, "What? What the hell? Are you what? What?"
I like the look on the doctor's face when he realizes it's that Lucy, and he's like, "Oh." Okay, was anybody bothered though that he kept calling her by her last name when he's known her since like elementary school?
I was gonna bring that up with you guys. Like, she's known him for a long time. Why is he calling her that? Is it just to be professional because he works for her?
Oh no, because I have the same question.
Sure,
I don't get it.
Exactly.
Why wouldn't he just call her Lucy?
I can't remember. Maybe I'm mixing it up with an episode of Law & Order I saw earlier today. I'm not kidding here. I thought that he said that she didn't remember him when they reconnected years later.
Oh, is that right?
He didn't. I thought he said she did. Maybe I was
Well, that
wrong.
Totally makes it.
I must have heard it wrong then, because I could have, like, you were probably right. I thought it said a few years after high school when I reconnected with her, she did, but she fell for his friend.
Yes.
So that's probably why it didn't make any sense to me, because I was like, why are you just like.
How did I miss that? Okay, so Lucy's baby's daddy was his buddy.
Yeah, that took off.
He failed.
Right,
yes.
He ran off when the baby was born. And then he's obviously had feelings for her his whole life. So, just let me be a nanny to your kid. Because that's not weird.
The doctor even says something. He's like, so she keeps falling for your friends and you're just here taking care of a baby?
I'm sorry, he is Captain Friendzone.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I've been there and usually am there, and it's like, oh, this is so painful, it's so true.
But see, he has an alter ego that he can win the.
That makes it even worse, though. Doesn't he say, "I'm jealous of myself right now"? I mean, come on, like
Lucy. She wants to figure out who the doctor is, tries to interrogate him, and he gives her a bunch of crap about Scotland Yard and making up crap.
She calls him on every single lie.
Yeah, she's sharp. I mean,
that toy she pulled out.
Yeah.
That was starting to get on my nerves, but I loved it.
Yeah, it was.
I wanted to rip that squeaker out. I'm sorry.
I'm trying to remember how she ends up getting the interview with Ghost.
Because he comes into the room when she's trying to beg the doctor, please get me an interview, can you please get me an interview?
Right,
and he's telling her, he's like, no. And so he goes to the other room, remember, and calls from the kitchen
in his
ghost voice.
Right. Yes.
Which I kept going, is she not realizing that she can hear the baby monitor from both?
Yeah.
Like, it's echoing? Is it just
me? At the very least, if someone's talking to me in one ear and I'm hearing it in both ears,
right. For her to be so smart. And doesn't he say something to her along those lines? Basically, for you to be so smart, you're making some really dumb, like. I forget how he says it, but he basically tells her, like, you know, you're really smart, you're really brilliant, but you're so dumb right now.
And it's always the smart girls who can't figure out who the superhero in disguise is.
Are you kidding me? I'd be stalking that crap.
I know, right?
I'd be like, what?
And to me, it's a little bit odd, too, that she doesn't seem to know much about the person that she's entrusted her kid to. I mean, she treats him kind of very dismissively.
No, I got it.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that's a little bit weird, but maybe that's part of having that professional relationship too. I don't know. Mm-hmm.
Although, and I know y'all know, like, I know she realized who the doctor and Nardole were when she walked in, but if you had a babysitter, could you imagine coming back in and then just two random guys are just there at the house?
And he's like, they said they knew you, so I let them in.
I would be chewing mine out. I'd be like, said they knew me. What? Did you check for ID? I tell you right now, my babysitter would be like, she don't know your ass. I don't know your ass. You ain't coming in here. No. You're the who? I don't give a shit.
Doctor what?
Right. Doctor what? Doctor my ass. Get on out of here. Oh, you said she watched you on TV. No, not going to work.
So was, did they, oh God, why am I having trouble remembering this?
Mom brain.
Yeah, it must be. So she, was it that same night that they didn't know? Because she asked him to babysit.
Yeah, the next
the
night.
Next night.
Yeah, and he's like, no, I have a date. And then she's like, how both, wait a minute, like, what?
I like how they're both upset, though, that the other one has a date with each other.
Yeah.
And the doctor's the only one that's like, he's like, I'm jealous of myself right now. And he's like, but you're jealous of her. Like.
He had a couple of good eye rolls in this episode, too. Oh, God, help me out.
Well, I think next, in the meantime, I guess the next day, Doctor and Nardole are getting more into what's going on at Harmony Shoal.
Mm-hmm.
That was actually a really cool scene, I thought. The scientist guy, they're going over the security footage, and then the doctor shows up and just starts talking to them.
Yeah, and he's like, I'm live!
Hello, live feed here!
I kind of wasn't expecting that, and then when he did it, I just like...
All right. Moving, jeez, somebody else might have to take over this order of events because obviously
she's having lots of brain fart.
Yes, not focused.
It's okay. I'm having mom brain, and I don't have any kids.
I think it was because I kept having getting interrupted during the second viewing of it, so all of it's getting jumbled in my brain.
See, I think also at some point they go to Tokyo
do
some investigating there.
Oh, yeah. Because it's one of the, they have a building there that he's trying, I have screwed this up. What the hell
That's
am I
the
talking
whole,
about?
Like, figuring out the capitals and he keeps saying, it's, but New York is not a capital.
Yeah, I think they're just working on trying to piece together what's going on. Piece together why Harmony Shoal is doing what they're doing.
Skipping ahead to the part that I liked, my favorite part of the episode, Grant and Lucy's date on the top of the building.
Well, it's really not skipping, because that's going on while they're doing their, like, hey, we're in your spaceship, we're going to, you know, do our thing. So, it's not really skipping, it's like coincide. They're kind of going along, like, side by side.
Right.
At the same time.
The, was it kind of like a little homage to Superman, the movie? Didn't they have some sort of rooftop date in that movie?
Well, if you think about pretty much any superhero show or movie we watch, there's always some sort of rooftop date.
Yeah, that's true. Because most of them can fly.
Or that's like their secret, like, meet me on the roof. It's dark and you can't see me up here.
they they did that, which I obviously it was meant to be cheesy, the whole, you know, he's walking to the camera and then he pulls open his shirt and he's got the costume underneath.
Yeah. I like
right
that.
Before he's getting ready to fly out.
That's an appropriate amount of cheese for me.
Mm-hmm.
It did have a lot of cheese factor that I really liked, though.
I thought it really fit in with the Doctor Who cheese.
Right.
I was trying to find... There was some really good dialogue during their date. I think she says something like, do you have a girlfriend?
Or a boyfriend.
Or a boyfriend. And he's like, are you stereotyping a little bit there? And she's like, well, you're flying around in a skin-tight suit with a big G on your chest.
Yeah.
Which, it's funny.
It was funny.
Yeah.
It's like a little bit borderline offensive, but not like, she has a point. So
she kind of does have a point, not being mean.
Right. And the thing about what she's wearing, that was the other part that I liked, because when she was leaving to go on the date, he was like, that's not your date dress.
Usually wear that red dress.
Yeah. Which is kind of disturbing that he knows that too, but
he's in love with her.
That's true. And she's like, this is business dinner. And then somehow between when she leaves and goes up to the roof, she's changed into her date
dress.
She's
also changed, kind of like a superhero would.
Yeah.
So.
I really like that. That's one of those like little things that Moffat does really well. It's not really a big part of the story, or it's just one of those little interesting little things that usually grabs my attention. And he kind of, and him as Grant, you know, can realize that she changed for him, for the superhero side. And that probably
was a sweet conversation.
It was a sweet conversation.
Kind of led to him, to her gushing, realizing that she actually does really like Grant.
Her epiphany, basically.
Yeah. And then he's about to reveal himself. And then
that
she
was
goes,
hysterical.
I love how honest he is.
Right, but then, if you would just look up. And then...
just look up right now.
Oh, that was great.
It's funny because it seems real. Like, that seems like a real, like, thing that might happen if you were in that situation. And then...
I think that was probably my favorite part, because she's, like he said, he's looking down, she's, like, got her hand in her face and her, you know, they're all together, and she's like, hey, Grant, right downstairs, Grant, oh, I take him for granted! And that's so cheesy, but it's great.
So in the meantime, I remember the Tokyo thing. So they, the brain aliens, which is what I'm calling them from now on.
Brain aliens.
The brain aliens, they have a ship in orbit, and they take the TARDIS to the ship. They're going to disable it and try to crash it. And that will be the catalyst to bring all of the world leaders into the buildings so that they
can because
be...
the building's meant to withstand a blast, so it'll crash on New York, and then, oh hey, New York was devastated, but our building is safe.
Right, so presumably all the world leaders would want to headquarter there, and then they could steal their brains. So that one of the wackiest parts of the episode is when the Doctor and Ordo are on the ship, because it's kind of one of those classic Doctor Who, like, things are going haywire and I have to do random shit to fix it.
I like how they're like, okay, it's empty, there's nothing here at all, and then there are guards up there. Well, crap.
as ship crashing scenes go, it was pretty funny to me.
Mm-hmm.
And
I think one of my favorite lines was when he's the doctor's ranting, "Why don't the good guys have plans like this?"
Yeah, the good
guys. And then he realizes, he's like, oh, wait.
And I'm trying to remember how he did the targeting. He targeted the stone, the gemstone.
Yeah, he targeted the stone.
That was inside Grant to be able to direct the ship crash to where Grant was.
Yeah, and he sent a warning to him, like a high frequency that only he would hear.
Right. A lot of the science-y type things, you know, can get out of hand, but, you know, as far as Doctor Who goes, everything was fairly, you know, not that insane. Because, I mean, sometimes it gets a little out there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I guess to backtrack a little bit, so back on the roof as the internet's going along, the Harmony Shoal brain aliens come in there.
That's right.
And interrupt the lovely dinner.
What was this? Did they see him on the security feed? Is that how they found them? Or I forget how they tracked him down.
I don't remember.
Oh, they want to steal the ghost brain. That's what
it
is.
Yeah, they want his right. brain because they want his body.
That's right.
They're like, "Oh wait, if we use his body."
Which is, I mean,
I question if any scalpel they use would be able to cut him.
I wondered that too.
But I guess they were willing to try.
Yeah. Let me try to cut this guy. I mean, they had shot him with bullets earlier, and they all bounced off of him, so.
Yeah, he just kept on walking.
Yeah. So, they're all on the rooftop, and then, is it? Does he reveal his identity while he's stopping the ship from crashing, while he's holding
it
up?
Yeah, because he has
to. Yeah, while the ship's crashing. Yeah, because he shoots away as the ghost, because they're saying they're going to kill Lucy if he doesn't relent. And she says to go leave her, and then he winds up leaving, but then he comes back as Grant.
That's right.
Because they're like, "Who is this guy?" Remember?
That's right, yeah.
He comes rolling in. He's like, "The nanny."
And yeah, and I remember. Let's see.
And then he catches the ship as Grant.
Yeah.
Yes. Got it. Yes. That's pretty cool. Damn, I like this episode a lot.
It was a really sweet scene, I thought. He's up there holding the ship, and then she goes, "You need your costume." And she goes up there, and he's saying, "Well, I'm kind of busy right now."
Mm-hmm.
Then she goes up there and puts his glasses on him.
Yes, I know. That was sweet. Yes, I like that. Aw.
That was just, yeah.
So, he saves the day, and the doctor calls the unit to clean up the mess there. Another great little throwback to Oswald. I think doesn't he name check her?
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, as the head of unit.
Mm-hmm. So I was kind of thinking the other day, and I know she's probably not going to do anything. They probably won't bring her back. So they should bring back characters from old seasons. But Martha's the only companion really that is still around that remembers the doctor.
That's true.
Well, I mean, haven't they brought her back once?
She came back on Torchwood. And she came back at the end of Tennant's run.
Yes.
For that two-parter and then a little cameo in the final.
Where she works for UNIT.
Yeah, she works for UNIT.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that's where she, like, but in the Tennant episodes. Yeah, okay. I had to be sure I was thinking that correctly.
Yeah, and then Torchwood, she was a full officer, and then they advanced her, so she's like leader of one of the medical divisions or something.
Oh,
like that.
That's right. Yeah.
Yes.
But it'd be a nice little throwback to at least see, you know, see her maybe make a cameo since she's technically still around, as far as we know.
I would enjoy that. I liked Martha.
I don't see there any being any reason why she wouldn't still be around.
Yeah. But speaking of sticking around, looks like we're not done with Harmony Shoal.
Yeah, I think that's a good villain to keep around.
Mm-hmm. I foresee problems because I could see them, you know, in fact, like, you know, getting into UNIT and mm-hmm. taking control there.
Yeah, which they alluded to at the end of the episode, mm-hmm. That one of the brains had exchanged containers with one of the humans. But isn't the scar across the, or not a scar really, but like, there's a line
the opening.
Across the face
yeah.
that you would think would be kind of a giveaway.
I mean, yeah, like you didn't have that 5 minutes ago.
Yeah.
Because you're like, you can, and you can't say I cut myself shaving because
that's a
holy
pretty
Hannah, that goes
shaving.
Right.
It's like Sweeney Todd.
Did your yeah? Did your wife try to cut your head off? Like, what happened, bro?
So, I'm interested to see what they if they do anything with them going forward.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of like it because I was like, Nick, I kind of did the eye roll thing too and was going to originally, when I was jotting things down before the episode was even over, I was going to be like, oh, haven't we seen this before? Haven't we done this before? But then once I realized, like, I think we've seen this before because it's the same thing, but I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. And then when Nick confirmed it, I was like, okay, this is great. I kind of like that we use the same, like, the Weeping Angels various times, or, you know, the Daleks over. Like, I kind of like that it's the same villains. Like, we have our own set of, like, known villains.
Yeah, I totally agree with that.
Oh, yeah, I like that. And then I like, you know, gradually they'll make subtle changes like they've done with pretty much every villain.
Mm-hmm.
So by the end of the episode, Grant and Lucy are a couple now. And Nordahl has a really nice moment with trying to kind of explain what's up with the doctor because he... he does not really a speech, but sort of a little, everything comes to an end or, there's a time for everything and has sort of a melancholy kind of feel to him. Mm-hmm. And, Nordahl explains that he just came from, you know, being with River on the planet. What's the name of the planet? With the 24 year night. Where he, I guess,
mm-hmm.
has been with her since the last episode. I always forget the name of the planet.
I looked it up too before, but I don't remember right now.
I can't think of it.
So the gist being that he has just lost her, basically, after having been with her for so long. And he's still not over it. And I don't blame him, because River's amazing.
Well, he never got over Rose, either. Even though he knew River was coming. He never got over either one of them.
Yeah, that's true.
Although, the River one, to me, would be extremely painful, because you knew, going into it, that this would be the
right.
very last time you would see
right.
her.
Right.
There is no more.
That's always been, like, an extra little layer to their relationship. That's always kind of got to me. And then they didn't really say where they were going after that, did they? That was pretty much the end.
My recording got some preview, like, what's to come.
Yes.
Which was kind of cool.
And the next season, is it going to start in the summer? Like
April.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. Even
we waited
better.
A really long time. Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm excited for that. You know, the new companion, Billy, I believe her name is.
Yes.
I like
Bill.
How
Bill, I think.
Bill, that's
Bill.
Yeah. So I like how, you know, we've had a lot of companions that they kind of hop on aboard the TARDIS and they're fearless and they're like, okay, we're doing this, this, and this. she has probably the one thing that we haven't had really since maybe Donna and Rose, where just this full sense of wonder.
Right.
Just basing it off the previews, like, it seems like she's excited everywhere she's going.
Like the one where she keeps, my favorite preview is the one they showed back a couple months ago where she keeps asking her questions. She's like, mm-hmm. Well, what's a Dalek?
I love that. I love that about the companions. Maybe that was what, like, irked me about Clara, is because she was such a friggin', like a know-it-all, and, like, nothing impressed her, and, like, she, I don't know.
It's like, I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna do
that.
Yeah,
like, she's just, like, kind of snobby about the whole thing, and maybe that's why I didn't like her as much, but
I liked her with Capaldi. I liked her
better, yeah.
I did,
yeah,
too.
I liked her better.
Still glad she's not there anymore, but anyway.
I hate how they... Which, that Christmas episode from 2 years ago was phenomenal.
Yes.
But I hate how they kind of wasted a great goodbye episode for her.
Yeah. I did not like that at all. It felt like she had a lot of goodbye episodes. That bitch just kept hanging around.
She's died a lot of times.
It's like,
and he really doesn't like her.
Are you dead yet? Because I swear I saw you die like 6 times.
She's that still episode.
Dead, undead? She's
who knows?
She's riding around in like time displaced.
We're gonna see her on The Walking Dead soon.
Yes. She'll be a zombie.
Yep.
And Michonne can cut her head off.
She did show up in Captain America.
Was she?
Yeah. There was a dancing scene, and she's one of the extras in there dancing.
Seriously?
Yeah.
How do you know that?
The internet.
IMDb, huh? Why would she do that? Just to say she was in it?
Well, this was before she was big. It was the first Captain America.
Oh, the first Captain America. Mm-hmm. Okay. I was like, huh? Okay, that makes more sense. This is the... I think one of those brain aliens, like, has infiltrated my body.
We need to get on over there and zap it out, apparently.
I feel like I haven't put together a coherent thought this entire podcast. Except for Clara hate.
Me and my Donna dislike, and you and your Clara hate.
We all know who... The real, what really happens, right, Nick?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So I can't wait for the new season. I hate it when Doctor Who's not on. And
I miss it.
I do too. And when I first started watching it, you know, I would binge it. I binged everything for like months. So when I finally caught up and we got to live episodes, I always felt like I was missing something, because I feel like Doctor Who is better watched when you can watch the whole season.
In long sit, yeah, where you can watch like a bunch.
I feel like if you take the standalone episodes as they come, it loses something for me. I don't know. So I'm excited, of course, to have it back on, but I will be more excited when the season is over with, and then I can watch them all back to back. And I feel like it makes a better story that way.
But it really would have helped this past season. Yeah. Because everything was like two-parters, really.
Yeah, they, mm-hmm. A lot of them were. And I felt the same way. I felt the same way about both of Capaldi's seasons, that maybe some of the reason why people didn't like him is because they needed to sit with him for a while, you know, and get used to having a new doctor for one.
I think also coming out the gate, he was very kind of curmudgeonly, very dour. Mm-hmm. He was trying to rediscover himself.
Yes.
By the time he comes back in for the second season and we get, you know, Missy and, mm-hmm. you know, that fun. First episode he shows up with
the guitar.
It's like, you know what? This is the Doctor.
Yes.
I was one of the very few people that I know that when he came back and he was all kind of grumpy and sour, I actually kind of liked it. Because I was like, he's mad.
Yeah. I like the contrast.
We've had like happy and like hello for so long that I don't know, it was just time for something different.
I think probably what it was is the Doctor, he's supposed to be confident and know what he's doing. Mm-hmm. Solving problems, using his wit. Mm-hmm. He doesn't need powers, doesn't need crazy weapons, he just needs his brain.
Right.
And that first season, he didn't know himself.
Mm-mm.
So he had to lean on Clara a lot to get through it, I thought.
Unfortunately, yes.
There she goes again.
She stepped up better. I thought she did have better chemistry with Capaldi than she did with Smith.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So, I think Miranda has some rapid-fire questions for you.
Yes. We're going to start doing these to all of our guests. So, just first thing that comes to your head, don't, like, get all stressed out. But let's go favorite movie.
You don't know me very well.
It's all right. It's all right. It's just us.
What was the first one?
Yeah, favorite movie.
Favorite movie. It's really tough.
Okay, well, if your brain is naming like a couple, then you can name more than one.
Okay. So, I would say Star Wars Original Trilogy is definitely up there.
Nice.
A lot of nostalgia movies, so a lot of stuff from the 80s and 90s. Indiana Jones, excluding, the Crystal Skull.
Oh, that's my favorite. No, I'm just kidding. Really not. What's next?
Yeah, I'd say probably Star Wars is up there. I like the whole space opera. It's, the fantasy mixed with the sci-fi.
Okay. What about favorite book?
Favorite book. I would favorite say of recent years, probably... I'm going to give a series of The Dresden Files.
Oh, that's a good series.
Yeah.
Very good series. Very, very good series. What about your favorite childhood book, like growing up? What was your favorite?
Chronicles of Narnia.
Oh, good answer.
Yeah, good
answer. Air Half Avenue. favorite comic book character?
Used to be Spider-Man, but I'm actually leaning towards the Green Lanterns now.
Yeah, you are.
Those are both that's mine and then Jenny's. Great. Okay, favorite band or musical artist? Because some people are like, well, it's an artist or, oh, it's a band. So what is your favorite? Or we have actually had someone answer with a genre.
I can give genre. I really enjoy soundtracks, so movie soundtracks, video game soundtracks.
Okay.
That's nice.
If you had to tell people to go buy one soundtrack today, what would you tell them to go buy?
Probably the classic would be anything John Williams.
Yes. Correct answer.
He just, in terms of the way he gets music that really speaks to you and is memorable without overshadowing the action that's going on screen. And, I mean, he's done the music for so many iconic movies.
Oh, yeah. Good. Some good choices for me to go and be like, pick from. I'm gonna dig through some choices now, don't I, Jenny?
And I do want to throw another one out there, just a video game composer.
Yeah.
Nobuo Uematsu, famously known for doing music for many of the Final Fantasy games.
Oh.
Okay.
I've never actually thought about video game composing.
Oh, there's a huge gamut that goes into that, just like making movies or anything else.
Really?
Well, if you think about it, most video games, there's music going in the entirety.
That's true.
The game. So, yeah.
And it's playing in the background. So,
yeah.
Especially Nobu's music, it's, to me, I never get tired of listening to what's going on. Which, you know, sometimes you could be in an area for, you know, if you're grinding for hours.
Hours,
at a time.
So. Yes.
You really have to enjoy what you're listening to.
That's right. My husband. Yeah, we do that. My husband actually turns the music off. We play Warcraft. He turns the music off, but he keeps the like the voices turned on. I keep both turned on, but I keep them turned down really low. And then there's certain areas that we have, like in each expansion, I'll be like, man, I really like the music from this area.
Warcraft has a really good soundtrack also.
Yes. The movie itself.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see the movie? It was fantastic.
Oh, yes.
I was very happy with it. It's great. Wait, oh, so were you a Warcrafter? Or are you a Warcrafter?
Yes, I need to play some more. I'm a bit behind because of work, and I moved recently to a different apartment, so.
All right, well, here's. We have been friends, but I need to know. Alliance or Horde?
I swing both ways, baby.
For the Horde.
Good answer.
No, both sides have their nobility and their villains.
Yeah.
I'll say my favorite character is Thrall, probably. So for that, I give that to the Horde side.
I really like Thrall. And then the movie came out, and there's this character, we shall just say Khadgar. Whew.
Okay, he was, yeah, I liked him in the movie. He was my favorite character in that movie.
He was great. But I'm a Horde all day long. I play an orc mage.
Nice. I used to really like Jaina until they completely 180'd her. And
well, my absolute, yeah.
I won't say the word.
I think I know where you're going.
Yeah.
My absolute favorite character is Sylvanas. She's my favorite. I love her so much. I'm a Sylvanas fan.
One of those.
Yes. One of those.
Is that all of the rapid fire questions?
Yes. All yes.
Right. Question so. For y'all. Harry Potter.
Oh.
Well, I've not been officially sorted, I don't think, unless it was years ago in Pottermore, but I'm Gryffindor.
I've been sorted in Pottermore 3 times, by BuzzFeed 2 times, and by, like, a random Mama Geek quiz, and every single time I am Ravenclaw.
That makes sense.
Nice, yeah. I don't think I've done Pottermore. When I do the random quizzes, it usually winds up either Ravenclaw or Gryffindor.
I could see that.
I could see both.
Yeah.
I could see both. I did one of those hybrid ones where it was like, if you were a mix, if we had hybrid houses, what would you be? And I was a Ravenpuff.
Really?
I was a Hufflepuff and a Ravenclaw. Hmm. Yeah, they mixed me. They said I'd be a Hufflepuff and a Ravenclaw.
Yeah, I got so the Gryffindor.
You got Gryffindor?
Yeah.
I think I would get Griffin Slithered. I don't know.
I gotta go find that quiz now and send it to you and see
if
you're Griffin
that.
Slithered.
Griffin? Griffin? No, that's not it.
I don't know.
All right, now here comes the really uncomfortable questions.
It's not uncomfortable. This is my favorite part. I think it's everybody's favorite part now.
We'll see about that.
A lot of people really like this part.
Go for it.
Give me a moment. I gotta prepare for this. Are we ready?
Lemon juice.
Do we, you know, right? Do we have picks? Everybody good?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah. Are we ready? All right. So, it is time for Nerd Eye Candy of the Moment.
Nice.
I don't think people believe that I really do that every single time.
It's,
I believe it.
Yes. It is one of my most favorite things. For some reason, it just tickles me.
Oh, Lord.
All right. Well, Nick's the guest, so I think he should go first.
Okay.
Okay. I'll be a bit different. I have a couple, and they're a real-life couple, but they're both in the geek family, I think.
Okay.
These people should know their names to some degree. So it's Anna Faris and Chris Pratt.
Ooh, yeah.
Good choice.
So Anna Faris, she's on Mom. She was in the Scary Movies. And she has a podcast called Unqualified.
It's awesome.
Which, yes, it's a great podcast. It can be a little raunchy at times,
yes.
But it, I think it's hilarious. They bring celebrities in to her house, and they do candid interviews, some improv games, and then have callers call in and give their unqualified advice on dating and life.
Oh, so. My God, we have to call in.
Well, I did submit a question one time, but they didn't pick mine.
No, I want to call and give advice.
Oh, I think you have to be a celebrity to give advice.
Oh, dang it.
And Chris Pratt, come on.
Right? No explanation required.
No, none whatsoever.
Our Lord.
And they themselves, they actually are rather geeky. I mean,
yeah.
One of the things that they fell in love over was their love of entomology.
Yeah, mm-hmm. They have bug collection.
Yeah. I thought that was great.
Their son is adorable.
Gosh, he is so stinking adorable.
He pops up on her podcast every now and then and just steals the show.
Mm-hmm.
He's so cute.
And here I am, like, when we record, I'm like, go to bed! Go to bed! I sound horrible.
All right, Miranda, you need to go because I'm still formulating mine.
Still formulating? Okay, well, mine, actually, since he named a very well-known couple in the geek world, I'm going to name the king of the nerds himself. Because I can't believe I haven't brought him up yet. But one, Mr. Zachary Levi.
Ah.
Well, he was actually on Unqualified's podcast
yeah.
a week or two ago.
He was.
He's just,
I
loved him and Chuck.
Oh, Chuck was fantastic. And, you know, he voices, like, one of my favorite Disney movies. He's Flynn Rider.
Mm-hmm.
But he does a lot of video game voices, too.
I liked that show that he did Geeks Who
Dream. I was going to say he was on the Heroes, the new
mm-hmm.
Heroes.
Yeah.
Did Heroes.
I loved series they did.
I forget what channel, maybe,
Spike? Are you talking about the game show he did?
Yeah,
on
the game show, yeah, Sci-Fi, was that it?
Yeah, because I was trying to get Russell, I was like, we should do a version of that.
I thought, I said the
Fanaticon.
Same thing, yeah.
It's like, that would be fun.
Oh, yeah, I love that show.
What's the name of that? Geeks Who Drink,
yeah.
Yeah, that's an excellent idea for a show, and, you know, every Friday night, I hang out with Geeks Who Drink, so I think we would kill that show.
We could. I wanted to be the host, though. That was my only stipulation, is that I get to host it.
I like that idea.
I'd play.
I would play real hard.
Sweet! I say we do it and make this happen.
All right, so...
Come on, Jenny.
You said... Zachary Levi was king of the nerds.
He is. You can't dispute that.
I will counter your king.
Oh, that's a big claim. Who are you going to bring?
I'm bringing Chris
Roll Hardwick. Them dice.
Chris Hardwick.
Oh.
And they're friends. That's really hard.
That does
They kind of like nerd out to. They nerd out together, too. So, like, how am I supposed to...
Well, he has a whole empire. I mean, and he is everywhere right now.
He's got that new show on NBC, I think.
Yeah, I haven't seen it yet, but I've...
Kelly,
it's essentially Plinko.
Yeah, Plinko, which
that's
is the
really
best
what it
part.
Is, yeah.
The best game on Price is Right,
hell
done
yeah.
Like a 30-minute or hour show.
Yeah.
No, come on, Nick. We know that the Will is the best part. No,
Plinko.
Plinko's the best game.
Yeah, but you want to win Plinko to spin that damn wheel.
That's true.
Like, I want to spin that wheel. Nick and I have already talked about spinning the wheel, because Caden was, like, telling people how they were doing it wrong the other day.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. When I was a kid, I was probably like, I'm judging you right now.
This poor lady he was judging was short, and she couldn't get a grip on the wheel. And he goes, that's just a pathetic spin.
Oh,
or she is not going to get to a double with
heavy.
That.
That wheel is heavy.
I give goodness for people that look like they probably wouldn't be able to do it. But then you have a young guy that's like, I want to get crafty and only do it once. Get around one time. It's like,
He really gets angry at the ones that, like, they come up there and they're like, I'm in the U.S. Marines, and they got these big old muscles, and he's like, what do you use them for? To put a shirt on? I'm like, oh, my God. I can't.
Quit stealing Chris's thunder. He is the king of the nerds, and he is very pretty. He's very nice to look at.
They're both very pretty.
I've listened to his podcast for a while.
Oh, his podcast is hysterical.
It's
my favorite one is
great.
Oh, crap. Him and Neil deGrasse.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, anytime.
Yeah, they're together.
It's gold.
Oh, it's so
I
good.
Love it.
He had a really good one with Anthony Mackie, right about, I guess, when Civil War was coming out. It was hilarious.
He was hilarious in that one, too.
Yes.
Yes, he was fantastic in there.
Yeah.
I remember that.
From The Walking Dead to At Midnight, he was on Live with Kelly this morning, I think.
It was yesterday.
Yesterday?
Yeah, because I saw him, and I was like, what is he doing with his hair?
Yeah, he's doing something different with his hair. But he still
I wasn't good. Sure how I felt about it, though.
So he's just kind of like, I mean, he's, I'm really happy.
I will dispute that these two could go head to head in a King of the Nerds contest because they're both pretty.
I don't know.
I think my thing with Chris Hardwick is he works so much.
He works a lot.
I don't mean he can't come compete in my tiny little King of the Nerds contest ran by Geek and Sassy. The winner gets, I don't know what they get yet, but...
a hug.
From both of us.
Yes.
And the loser gets a hug from both of us.
What kind of fucking competition are we running?
We're hugging Zachary Levi and Chris Hardwick. We're right, hugging both of them,
that.
Damn it.
I'm good with that.
I may hug a little bit tighter and longer than is appropriate, but
just, like
just know I'm going
Miranda,
home with my husband,
why are you
so it's okay.
That's a little uncomfortable.
I'd be like, what is this back here?
And now we've made it weird.
But this is what I do. And this is what I'm good at.
All right. Are you... I don't know if you're on Twitter, Nick. Do you have a Twitter?
I have one, but I don't even know the password to it.
We have forced other people to get one and or use it, so...
Yeah, a lot of our Place to Be Nation cohorts are on the Twitter, and they're very, very fun to follow.
Mm-hmm.
Keep up with all of their content.
Antics.
Yes.
Oh, sorry, that was a different word than you used.
Same
I apologize.
Thing. Same thing. Is there a way that people can find you on social media?
That you would prefer that is not stalking and or weird?
Hmm.
You don't have to. You don't have to.
Yeah, I really, like, I do most of posting on anything that's going to be on my personal Facebook. Otherwise, I don't think I'm that interesting. That's the only thing. That's why I don't do.
Oh, come on now. Come on now. You're a Doctor Who fan. You're smart. You're very interesting.
You get to work with psych patients.
Yeah,
come on, dude.
Yeah, I'm sure you have stories.
That could
days.
Be a podcast in itself.
I'm sure it could.
Just tell a story of the psych ward. I could tell you stories of people who should be in the psych ward. that's another day.
Yeah.
You can bring me back for that one.
Okay. We can compare notes.
We could, like, analyze superheroes or something. That would be kind of fun.
And see whether they need to be in the psych ward?
Yeah. Like, like Batman. I mean.
I think he's already there, but that's just another theory I have. Anyway.
Did you read the that big crossover with all the Batman titles around Halloween?
The Night of the Monster Man?
Yeah.
I have the issues. I haven't read all of them yet.
Okay. I'll be quiet.
I know the story.
Okay. I just thought that was interesting. A guy that thought he understood Batman.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah.
I'm making killing noises.
Honestly, I don't know why I have all the issues. It's just one of those.
I have all the issues too.
I have so many books I need to read.
Sorry, wrong issues.
I am Jenny Cruz, CRUZ2814 on Twitter. And then the podcast is at Geek and Sassy.
Yes. And Geek and Sassy is now also on Instagram. Jenny has been trying to post weekly her pull list, like her all of the books that she picks up, and then a favorite panel. I'm trying to do better with that, maybe. And then I am, as always, at Mom's a Nerd.
Mom's a Nerd, that's right.
Nerd, I said that right. I didn't call myself a nerd this time, Jenny.
And
I'm Nick Vester at nothing.
We'll try to get you on the Twitter. It took a long time for me too, but I'm really getting into it now.
Okay.
She does it more than I do now. It's kind of weird.
After you finish Geek and Sassy, stay in the Place to Be Nation pop feed and listen to some Hard Traveling Fanboys, some Sellers Points, Conversation Comics. We have totally awesome shows on Place to Be Nation Pop. And then come back. A little bit of a programming note here at the end. My son is going to be admitted to Children's Hospital, and he'll be there for roughly 2 weeks. So that will probably push back our recording by maybe a week or so. But rest assured, even if you miss us, go back and listen to our first, what, 7 episodes, 8 episodes, if you miss us.
8, yes, number 8.
and then we will be right back on it as soon as we get home from the hospital. But thank you guys for listening, and thank you, Nick.
Yes.
For having me, even though I mixed up Lucy's name early in the podcast, I realized it later on. I was like, oh, crap.
Oh, that happens to me like every single
We do episode, it like all the time.
All the time.
But I had a blast. Thanks for having me.
I'm so glad.
We're so excited.
We will probably when Doctor Who is maybe at the season finale, maybe you want to come back and we could go over the whole season,
see how it all went. Yeah.
That'd be great.
All right. Well, thank you for listening. See you
bye
later.
Guys.
Bye.
We'll be right back.